Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This week, Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Solid Gold FX. Solid Gold FX are a Canadian effects pedal powerhouse making boutique goodies that we at Guitar Nerds really think are worth a spot on your board. Across the board, Solid Gold FX offer high quality, originality and affordability with a range so comprehensive that there is definitely a pedal that they make that you, dear listener, should purchase. Looking for fuzz? Well, there are 8 different fuzzes in their range. From the dual tone bender circuits of the communication breakdown to the modulating polyphonic octave down synth fuzz of the Lysis. And of course, it doesn't stop there. There's so many cool, interesting, unique effects. The countercurrent, a momentary feedbacker and delay for 8-track garage rock ambience. The Funkzilla for a super controllable ultimate envelope filter for rhythmic funk quack. Check out solidgoldfx.com for more information on their entire line of pedals. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Reverend Guitars, and we are very happy about that because we really love Reverend. Well-built, affordable, unique, extremely cool, retro with modern sensibilities. Recently we've had a Jetstream 390 and a Greg Koch Gristlemaster sent to us from Merchant City Music in Glasgow, and we've loved them both. The Jetstream is a gorgeous Reverend original jaggedly shaped retro offset with 3 specially voiced P90 pickups and a deliciously roasted maple neck. The Gristlemaster is an oversized T-style guitar with the incredible sounding Fishman Tele pickups, a Firebird style ramp and a tonal palette so broad you'll never need another guitar. Seriously, their range is massive. Choose from a fantastic spread of bolt-ons, set necks, basses, and unique signature models. If you love guitars and you love this podcast, then I'm afraid you're going to need one. Check them out at reverendguitars.com. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. This is the 276th episode. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Good day to you.
And Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello there.
Gang. Hello. And hello, listener. Welcome to another
episode.
Listen,
before we go in,
right?
I'm not going to let you get away with that.
Okay.
So you said what? This is the 276th episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast.
276th episode.
Okay, and we've done roughly 276 episodes of Patreon as well, right?
That's right, yeah.
In fact, maybe more. Probably more like 350, including all the other rubbish that you do when I'm not around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, we've all been mates for about, 10 years? Maybe maybe longer?
Yeah.
And you just introduced... you had to start again because you introduced Matt as Matt Clark, not Matt Knight.
I would have accepted Clark Kent or Superman. Or Superman, but Matt Clark is just an
you just
actor.
You said Matt Clark and then just there was silence, presumably because you were trying to work out whether either of us noticed that you got your mate's name incorrectly.
I wasn't sure if it was going to lead somewhere, some sort of weird joke.
Some segue joke. No, it was pure idiocy on my part.
Is it a Patreon
terrible.
Subscriber?
I don't think he is. He's a prop designer for the BBC.
but
He's going to have to be a Patreon subscriber now.
yes. Apologies once again, Matt and Jay. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners. Despite my deft editing at the start of this episode,
I'm also sharing. It's too hot in this room, so I'm also sharing with the listeners
the seagulls
that live on my roof because I've had to open the window. It's too hot.
I like that. It means that our listeners get the sound of Brighton. So wherever you are listening from us, to us, listener, in whatever corner of the world, you get the Brighton sound.
I have to close my windows because we have occasional noisy neighbours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
my noisy neighbours are just the seagulls. And whenever I'm on a call for work, everyone always says, "Oh, it sounds so relaxing. It's so lovely, so relaxing." I'm like, "Are you mad?
Seagulls
that live on my roof. It's a nightmare."
Seagulls aren't relaxing. I've seen one eat a rabbit whole. They're the size of a dog.
The Brighton seagulls are they're some sort of like mutated form of a regular gull of the sea.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are ridiculous. They will eat your chips and your hand if you're not careful.
Yeah, they are. Indeed, they're dangerous. Now, at the start of every episode, I like to introduce our new patrons who have joined us over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitarnerds, where you can as well if you want some extra content. But we've got just upgrades this week. So hello and welcome, but thank you for upgrading Nick Rivett up to our $10 tier, and also to Robert Butterworth, who's done the same thing and is up
bloody
at
lovely.
Our $10 tier. So
happy
thank
days.
You. Thank you very much. Your names will both be in the song this week.
Ever closer to mod mode.
Very close to mod mode now, within about $50, $60, I think, now, which is it is getting close.
I mean, I you say it's close. I feel like with the release of, and I do hate to, you know, give you a little bit of credit here, Joe, but, you know, with the release of the new podcast, your side hustle.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to start hemorrhaging patron backers with people being like, "No, get this bass rubbish off my feed."
Yes. Well, I have been. That's why the Bass Guitar Nerds podcast is only every other week, alternating with the Friday special. So it's not an overload of bass content. I was very careful.
Oh, it's not Patreon either. You're just putting it out there.
Oh yes, it's just it's available. It's available for all. Yes,
I mean, that shows you how little I pay attention. So,
Now we have to start this episode. Obviously, just it's worth mentioning the sad news that happened this week with the passing of legend Peter Green.
Yes, an inspiration to many guitar players, and obviously the first famous owner of the Peter Green 59 Les Paul, which went to Gary Moore and now to Kirk Hammett.
Yeah.
I think, one of the probably most recognised guitars, and probably the most famous 59. I think,
without doubt, maybe the most famous Les Paul.
Quite possibly. I think,
I think you're right. Maybe like slashes, but
yeah, I think
other than that, I think for certainly for like guitar players,
as opposed to
people like rock and roll enthusiasts, I would say that Peter Green's guitar is just a legendary. Guitar.
What's interesting is that I would say that Slash is famous for playing a Les Paul, but this Les Paul itself is actually famous.
Ah, that's a great point. A very good point. This Les Paul has sort of transcended beyond its owners.
Yeah. And I think it's probably helped that it's not even been used by famous players, obviously, but then just really famous tracks. For those of you who don't know, Peter Green originally got his start in John Mayall's Blues Breakers, which is a famous blues outfit from London that basically had Eric Clapton, Peter Green, Jimmy Page, and Jeff Beck, I think, all ended up playing at some point. There's that, and there's all the Yardbird stuff, all that sort of music happening around the sort of mid to late 60s, which I think he bought the Les Paul in. I think he bought it in 67 or 68 from joining that, after Eric Clapton was really famous for playing what's called the beanie on that album cover. And then he used that. I think he probably used it, as far as I know, used it for obviously one of his most famous hits, which was Black Magic Woman, which is famously covered by Santana, and then Albatross, which reached number one, which is amazing because I doubt you'd ever get an instrumental piece of guitar music as number one on the album charts, the British nowadays, album charts nowadays. Yeah. Just goes to show the power of, you know, the kind of music at that time and how big guitar playing was. And then obviously that guitar then got handed to Gary Moore, which was obviously really famous, which he'd had for years. And obviously throughout the 70s and 80s was more famous for playing things like the Strat and stuff like that. And then obviously still got the blues in 1991. And then obviously that guitar became the most famous Les Paul out there. And then Kirk Hammett purchased it last year or the year before for a reported $2 million. $2 million, which I've actually seen more videos of him playing that Les Paul recently than any of the kind of ESPs that he's more famous for, which I'm not surprised if he paid £2 million for. I'm sure he wants to get his money worth.
Did you see the picture that you put up of it this week in tribute to Peter Green?
Was that the one on his Instagram?
Yeah, on his Instagram, where he's got it. He's got it on a guitar stand just next to the sea.
Yeah, taking a leaf out of Yogi's book. There,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's just, absolutely.
Oh, follow this great guy. He's always taking pictures on the stairs. Like, I've got a $2 million guitar. I think I'll just put it by the sea.
There's a just jumping back to Peter Green for a sec. I was having a look on his Wikipedia page earlier, and there's a great quote on here from this guy, Mike Vernon, who was a producer who was working on the John Mayall's Blues Breakers record. And the quote goes like this. As the band walked into the studio, I noticed an amplifier which I'd never saw before. So I said to John Mayall, "Where's Eric Clapton?" Mayall answered, "He's not with us anymore. He left a few weeks ago." I was in a shock of state. But Mayall said, "Don't worry, we've got someone better." I said, "Wait a minute. Hang on a second. This is ridiculous. You've got someone better than Eric Clapton." John said, "He might not be better now, but you wait. In a couple of years, he's going to be the best." Then he introduced me to Peter Green. That's a good little bit of storytelling there.
Yeah, that is great.
And actually, I think, I mean, obviously Marshalls were big at that point, but I've got a feeling he was really famous for playing an orange. I think he played one of the original ORs. I remember going into a shop in Denmark Street probably about 8 or 9 years ago now, and they had an OR, an original 60s one from that same era, which was like an OR 120, like the just the pictures, and then the optional reverb unit, which was the same size as the head.
Yes.
But was just a reverb unit. It just had one control on it. Amazing. But yeah, a great tone. I mean, Black Magic Woman, obviously, most people probably know the Santana version, but the Peter Green version's incredible. It's amazing guitar sound on it. And obviously, Albatross is, you know, his mark on guitar history, I guess, for that. And it's a shame that obviously he had so many years without him playing, but I guess the guitar sort of carried on. Just it's amazing that it's with Kirk Hammett, someone who's actually actively playing it, than a kind of museum piece, I guess. And it was actually used on the last Metallica album, and recently when Metallica did a live stream playing it through a Katana Air, so you know, sort of buddies now, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it is great though. It is great, you know. Like, it's fantastic that they're still, like you say, that they're still using it. I mean, I watched a live session of Metallica's recently. They were doing they did a great version of Master of Puppets, and I'm not normally into watching like live videos, but yeah, I watched this and it was fantastic, and it's so good that he is still out there rocking it. You know, it doesn't really matter that it's this ridiculously expensive guitar. It's just, it's his guitar, isn't it? You know, he just wants to use it.
Yeah, I guess I think it's, I mean, it's had a pretty hard life. I think it had a neck break. I'm sure, I remember talking to Gary once and he was saying it had one or two neck breaks before.
Right.
Because he had two 59s. I can't remember which one was which. But obviously that guitar also made collector's choice number one. And I remember that when that came into the shop, which is arguably probably the most collectible modern day Gibson. I'd say that's the one that most people want. It's one of the most expensive. And they never come up secondhand. The Melvin Franks, I think they did a Voss one, an aged one, and an aged and signed one. The aged and signed was Tom Murphy as well. Mm. And I think they're going for like 50, 60 grand.
It's just crazy, isn't it?
Mad money. But they didn't make many. I think it was 50 or less in the aged and signed one, I think. So
we had them at GAC. Did we have one or two at GAC?
We had one.
One of each?
Well, I think we had one of each. And I remember, I know who the aged and signed went to, and spoke to a friend of the owner at the guitar show that we went to in October, the London guitar show.
Yeah.
And I asked him, and I won't repeat how much he sold it for, but it was a insane amount of money. And fair enough, I think at the time we said, it'd be a crazy investment. And lo and behold, it was. And whoever owns it now, it will probably still continue to go up in price, no doubt.
Speaking of GAC, I mean, I know I've talked about it before, but I should just touch base on maybe 2012. I can't remember exactly when it was. Peter Green played in Brighton, played at the Comedia, which is this venue, like 400 cap venue, pretty small for Peter Green, you know.
Yeah. Probably only 200 yards away from GAC as well.
Yeah. Literally just around the corner from GAC, if people have been there. And Gary Moore was going to the show, and he was in the shop with us, just like hanging out, as he like quite often did. Just come in and towards the end of the day and pick a guitar and turn an amp up to 10, and just, you know, it was Gary Moore, so it was okay. You know, we wouldn't let anyone else do it, but because it was Gary Moore, it was fine. And he was in the shop because he was going to the show, and like just as we were closing up, Pete Green's manager came in and was like, oh, is it all right if Peter comes in and has a quick look around? And we were like, yeah, of course, yeah. And to be kind of in the presence of Gary Moore and Peter Green at the same time was like pretty bonkers, really. You know, two of the most iconic guitar players of all time, really, of, you know, certainly of like the modern rock and roll era, was really like something that I didn't appreciate at the time, because I just sort of thought of Gary Moore as, you know, this fella who came into the shop and was a great guitar player, and you know, I thought of him as a fella more than I did as a guitar player. And it's only kind of in hindsight I've looked back on it and thought, like, that was a pretty special moment.
Did they have like a guitar battle?
Yeah, it was just like that movie Crossroads. it was exactly like that. That's what happened. And but unfortunately, I can't talk about it because it was I had to sign an NDA. So sorry, I will never mention it again. But it was quite a moment.
I imagine so. Well, yes. So Peter Green will, of course, be, you know, missed by, you know, loads and loads of guitar enthusiasts for everything that he's given to the to music and to the world of guitar. So yes, a sad loss for everyone. But moving on to kind of other stuff, I've been getting really into boutique plectrums.
Of course.
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
Yeah. So I'm getting really into boutique plectrums. And so I put a post up like last week on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. And I asked people for kind of suggestions of brands. And we got some really good ones that some that I've looked into, some that I still need to sort of research more into. One thing I did was get a pack of chicken picks.
Yes, Joe, the best picks out there.
You play chicken picks. What chicken pick do you play?
I've only used chicken picks. I've used chicken picks now for, I would say, 8 years.
Wow.
And I actually really struggle to use a normal guitar pick.
Well, they're like so very different, I imagine. That.
Yeah, so I had to buy some recently. So I buy three once a year, because they pretty much don't wear out, and actually where they do wear, they kind of fit more to your you're playing.
So and it's like $20, isn't it, for a pack of three?
Yeah, I think they were 21 euros for a pack of three. So I use the Shredder 3.5 mil. It's basically like having an extra bit of thumb on the end of your thumb.
Right.
But somehow...
3.5 mil is a lot.
Never break a string. And my guitar sounds better, so chicken picks. I honestly, if I go to... The only time I might use a thinner pick is if I'm playing acoustic.
Right.
But I just... I think the sound and projection of a thicker pick is better. I used Jazz 3s for ages before that.
Are these larger than a Jazz 3? Or are they?
Yes, they actually do make a Jazz 3 shaped one. The only reason I went... to Jazz 3s is because when I was at BIM, Guthrie Govan played a Jazz 3, and then suddenly every guitarist at BIM was like, got to play a Jazz 3 because Guthrie. And yeah. Then, of course, I never practiced, so I never got any good anyway. And then I don't know how I found out about chicken picks. Honestly can't remember how I found out about them. I think it might have been someone else in the shop, actually. Or maybe I saw it and we talked about it on a really, really early podcast and I bought them and then I could never really look back. But yeah. I'm a massive fan of the thick pick.
The thick pick is something I've recently got into from playing some of the Guitar Nerds Gravity plectrums that I still have. I think Andy Manley mentioned it on our Facebook group recently, mentioned the Guitar Nerds Gravity picks, and I was like, I think I still have some of those. So I went out and dug them out, and they're really good. One, they're kind of a slightly larger size, 1.5 mil, but after playing them for a week, I was like, oh, I'm actually into this thicker, larger plectrum. So I started to go out and source them. So I've gone for the 2.5 mil, the standard chicken pick. They're yet to arrive, but I'm looking forward to it. And then one of the other brands that I checked out that I was recommended, Kai Down on our Facebook group, recommended these quite highly for me, which was Windspear plectrums. Now I'm going to upload this little unboxing I did of a plectrum just yes. to Instagram.
Really
sounds
small
exciting
box.
No, it comes in a wax sealed envelope, and it is
like a wedding invitation.
Yes, like
it's
that
an invitation to Tone.
Yes. It is an invitation to Tone. But I went for one of their future size pickups, which are lovely. They've sort of got this wonderful crisscross etched sort of body to the plectrum, so there's very grippy, and then it's a decent sort of 2.5 mil thickness, which is very, very good. But you know, since I got these 2.5s, I'm like, maybe Matt's right. Maybe 3.5s are the solution. So I'm going to wait, get these chicken picks. But I think I'm probably gonna buy some more chicken picks in a thicker size. But there have been some fantastic other suggestions from people as well. So like I've lost the blue chip picks are another one to check out. They were getting lots of positive commentary on the group, and purple plectrums as well. Look like they do some mammoth sort of thick big plectrums, which are very, very cool indeed. So
the toughest thing about moving to chicken picks was the fact that I actually had to buy picks. Having spent
Matt, what are you suggesting? We always bought all of the picks and strings when we worked at GAC. What are you talking about?
Actually, what was funny was at the weekend, Amy, my partner, decided to do a full clean of the washing machine. Now, obviously, I only use chicken picks, and I always know I've got three. So she was like, "I've just found loads of picks in the washing machine." I'm like, Can't be. I've used chicken picks for years, but obviously I've got like Boss ones occasionally from like guitar shows, and loads of them had ended up in the filter where they'd been there so long they'd actually like started to disintegrate.
Yes.
They were like actually bendy, and like all of the stuff had rubbed off the front. She was like, "Do you need these?" I'm like, "No, I do not need any more picks."
My washing machine filter journey went from, 10 years or whatever of working at GAC, and it was always plectrums. And then when I left GAC and started working at the headphone place, it switched to being headphone ear tips. That's what ended up in the washing machine for like 2 years, and now it's back to being plectrums again, and the occasional ear tip, because I still dip my toe in that world. But it's what's in your washing machine? Don't worry about it. We don't want to know.
I think what's interesting though is with this boutique pick, as you say, Joe, there's loads of companies obviously trying to make their own mark on the plectrum. Yeah. And I think actually companies like Dunlop and stuff have actually followed suit, because there are expensive picks, as it were, from Dunlop that kind of go down a different route, and you know how they play and how they feel and stuff
So
yeah, there's what were the ones that came out maybe about a year ago? And I saw Rabea had got some signature ones recently. I can't remember. They've got like a weird grip on them. Can't remember. But they were really expensive, if I remember rightly. Like at least 10 or 12 quid for a few, which is obviously, you know.
Well, you want to.
How much are your picks, mate?
50p. The 50p. As they have been since like 1992, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you who I think is really, who shoulders a lot of blame for this, is in the, you know, introducing people to the world of kind of like boutique and interesting picks, is JHS, because you always get a gravity pick.
Yeah.
With a JHS pedal. And I really think that it's opened a lot of people's eyes to just, you know, getting something different than a green Tortex, you know, everyone except Packham, of course. But like, I think that it's just because you've got one for free, it's just giving people the opportunity to try something new. And they have gone, oh, maybe I will get something that isn't just the same thing that I've been buying for the last 15 years or whatever, you know.
And you think those gravities, that the JHS do that, is quite good value, because those gravities are like 5 quid.
Are they?
For a plectrum. Yeah. So it's great that they're sort of, you know, thrown in.
I'm sure, because I was just on their artist series, there's quite a few artists. Prime Tone was the pick I was thinking
of.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
So Metallica, just winding this back round to Metallica, both James Hetfield and Kirk Hammett have their own signature picks. Kirk Hammett is a Jazz 3 with an extra cutout that comes in purple sparkle. Good man. I'm sure I heard once, I can't remember where I heard this, that when they were going on tour, I'm sure it might have actually been on the Dunlop website, that for tour, they have 70,000 picks each.
Crikey.
What?
Before they go on tour. Yeah.
This week, Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Echoline Pedals to offer you a £10 discount voucher across their entire line of pedals. This awesome range of British-built boutique effects boxes have been a Guitar Nerds favourite since we first discovered their gloriously transparent overdrive, the Roadrunner, 5 years ago. Recently, Echoline Pedals have relaunched and expanded their entire range, now available in a more compact, pedalboard-friendly chassis and with an unbelievable pre-discount starting price of £119. Still handmade in the UK using the finest new old stock and top quality components, Echoline's range of drives, distortions, fuzzes and boosts are some of the sonically best pedals we have ever heard. They come with a full Guitar Nerds endorsement, and we strongly recommend taking the plunge on one of these boxes. For details and to shop online, check out echolinepedals.com and use discount code ILOVEGUITARNERDS at the checkout for £10 off any pedal in their range. This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
Have you checked out the latest Ball Family Reserve collection from Ernie Ball Music Man? BFR is a celebration of Ernie Ball's heritage in instrument craftsmanship, which features some of the finest figured tone woods and finishes available. These rare pieces are offered in limited production runs and allow the public access to instruments previously reserved for family and loyal artists. This month features the Bongo in Wild Cherry Burst, the Majesty in Blue Steakhouse, and Valentine in Target Burst. Learn more about where to get yours at music-man.com/BFR.
They probably throw loads out to the crowd.
I know. But it's just like...
That is a lot of plastic.
It must be between them.
just big bags. Just throw the whole bag. Out there. But yeah, I guess, I mean, you know, they're probably doing like, that's probably like 3 years worth. But then again, I guess that's still like 15,000 picks a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's roughly how many I lose in the washing machine each year. So I think that's fair enough. Matt, just jumping back to this, these prime tones, they did these when I was still at GAC, because I remember them coming in like, you know, posh little baggies. And we had a little counter display for them, and they are a lot of money. I think, do you get three? Yeah, I think you get three for a tenner or something like that. I'm pretty sure that's, I'm just having a look on the website. I can't remember, but, yeah, they were good. They were cool.
I would urge everyone to try a different pick. Just go out there.
Absolutely.
Because actually, yeah, that was the whole thing with chicken picks, was just like, got so used to using one. And then, yeah, to go and spend £7 on a pick is a bit like, all right.
Picks 50p.
Well, yeah, let's, you know.
Picks are 50p.
Talking about kind of expensive plectrums, and I have mentioned this brand probably over a year ago now when I first came across them, and it will bring us on to a guitar that I want to talk about, also made by the company. A Swiss company, Hufschmid, make some of the most expensive but also most fantastic plectrums I have ever seen. They started off with the Drop, I believe was their original plectrum. Do you remember the Drop? It doesn't list the thickness of the Drop plectrum, but in the pictures it is as thick as the guy's finger who's holding up. And here's the thing, the Drop is the most conventional plectrum in the Hufschmid lineup. So they do like glass effect ones. They have the Huff Glow plectrums, which are glow in the dark sort of Luminlay style plectrums. They also do the Dense Du Midi plectrum, which looks like shattered glass.
These are crazy, and is the size of
a hand, I would say. Just the palm of a hand, but still sort of around
just the palm.
Yeah, they do another, the Ketron Peak 1000, which is as thick as it is long. So there's just such an incredible range of awesome, interesting plectrums. So if you ever want to try something,
I'll tell you a little bit
different.
Their most expensive one is the Torlon 4203 plectrum, which is €75. And it's the first time I've ever seen a... there is a performance chart for high thermoplastics. That's the kind of the geeky stuff I want to see when I'm buying my pick.
Absolutely.
These are crazy. I think it's very fitting to the guitars, actually.
I love these plectrums. I'm definitely going to get one because you can pick one up for as little as 30 euros. But they do obviously shoot up. I'm quite a fan. There is a 15 mil thick mega anvil, which does, sounds like a lot of fun. So I don't know, maybe that's the one. But we'll see. I'm gonna choose one over the next few days. I just think they're so interesting and fun and cool.
15 centimetre?
Yes. It's 15 like centimetres, that's right. That's exactly what it is.
It's like a weapon. It's like Joe Branton in the studio with the anvil pick.
But yes, it's really interesting. But yes, I was reminded of Hufschmidt not by the conversation we were having about plectrums, but actually just, you know, as I was sort of scrolling through Instagram, I came across this Hufschmidt guitar, which is kind of similarly wonderful and experimental. And of course, they're very, very modern, you know, with sort of doing like these crazy sort of shredder plectrums. But they've... a new guitar that they've made is a kind of their flying V shape, which I love. That sort of at the where there is no horn, I guess at the top underside of the body, it's cut away as well, so you have like full access. It's a wonderful kind of modern take on a flying V, and it's sort of it's been reliced and everything, but very very tasteful. It's got the new Hufschmidt pickups, but. My favorite thing about it, one of my favorite things, was the fact that it's a 666 millimeter scale length.
I saw that as well. That's so good.
So good.
Which in the real world means it's 26 and a quarter inch. Yeah. 26 and a quarter inch scale length. So actually not that different at all. But yeah, no, just so calling funny. It 666 mil. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's so good. I love it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The electronics inside as well, where they got that filter, the cap for the electronics, which is the nuclear, is just a nuclear waste barrel. Is just
yes, the cap incredible. In the back of it is. So it's like attention to detail, even underneath the control plate from this wonderful Swiss company. I didn't see a price on this, but it's
I'm on their website now, actually. Comes with, believe it or not, a free Gator Extreme. The only case.
Yes, it does.
The only case extreme enough for such a guitar. €3,450. But given the spec, I think it's... it's great. I mean, we're looking at, totally unique distress finish. One piece quarter sawn mahogany body and neck. We've also got
20 coats of hand applied oil base varnish, yes, and 20 and worst, coats of hand applied PU lacquer.
The world's first polyether ketone nut.
Yes, yeah, that's something that they've copyrighted as well, hasn't it?
Yes, and cryogenically
Peak,
treated frets.
They're calling it, yeah. I love everything about this brand. It's like there's so much attention to detail. Everything has to be a reinvention of the wheel with them. You know, like everything is sort of technology for guitars.
One of their guitars has Lumen Lay pickups. Which I think is incredible, wow. Because in the dark, the entire pickup lights up.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, just a great brand. There's a bunch of great stuff that I've come across from Switzerland, actually. I think there's a lot of boutique brands and stuff out there. So, yes, one to definitely worth checking out. Some of the flame tops they've been putting on stuff is just insane.
Yeah, So, Huff Schmidt are fantastic. Check them out, listener, if you haven't already. Now, as we mentioned last week, we are currently teaming up with Guitar Assembly of guitarassembly.com, which is this fantastic business where you can visit their website, and they've got a wonderful range of articles that will educate you on how to maintain and look after your existing guitars. But they also offer Luthry courses where you can build your own completely custom guitar from scratch, which is rather good. And we're teaming up with them to build a completely custom guitar from scratch. And of course, last week I asked podcast listeners if you'd submit ideas for body shape, and then, you know, we'll choose our favorite ones and our favorite three or four and put them out in a poll on Facebook for you guys to decide, and we'll take it from there. But we've had some absolutely fantastic suggestions recently. This a chap called Alan Brunet has sent us some wonderful design for his T-track T-style guitar. And it's called T-track because cut through the middle of this kind of Tele style body is a routing, a scalloping. Say it again.
It's a channel.
It's a channel, yeah. It's a channel through the middle of the body. Perfectly.
It's a Tony Hawk signature guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Perfectly in line with where most guitarists kind of chug away on the strings, meaning that you can chug away there without hitting into the body. And it's such a wonderful cool redesign on a classic shape. It's almost impossible to describe, but it is very, very cool. That one will probably make it through. I'm quite excited by that one. And then we've kind of had a few others. One of my favorites was a completely symmetrical Strat, so with the top horn the same as the lower horn. That was quite interesting. I sent you guys through a handful of designs as well, because I think, Matt, you were hoping for some sort of triple pickup Gretsch style thing.
Yes. Yeah, I think there was a couple of pictures floating around in the group, and someone posted a picture that looked like a Stump-O-Matic, which is a Gretsch guitar I miss dearly.
Yeah, you sold yours, which was...
I did. It had very unique wiring, but we talked about it on a podcast before. But I think something Gretchy. I want a Gretsch.
We've had one suggestion which is very much similar to a Vox Apache. It was the Apache, wasn't it, with the built-in speakers?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Starstream.
Sorry?
Wasn't there one called the Starstream?
No, the Starstream is the hollow one, the one that's got no body, that's just a frame.
Yeah, the Apache is the one with the... I think there have been a few, but yeah, the Apache I think is the one that you're thinking of, Joe. Is it the one that looks a bit like a caravan?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very cool indeed. So yeah, so there are some fantastic suggestions that, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of flicking through this week and then choosing some finalists. Anyway, we should move on and talk about some news.
News.
first up this week, well, it wouldn't be a normal week in guitars if Electro Harmonix hadn't released another pedal, J. Cross.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have got an update, well, an addition to the Electro Harmonix Looper range. So this is the 1440. So EHX obviously have been releasing loopers for the last few years. The 14,440, I think, is the big one. I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, they've got a bunch of different looper pedals. But yeah, the 1440 is kind of what you would think of as a kind of more traditional Electro Harmonix shape. So kind of like a Holy Grail or something like that. So like not a massive box and not one of the small boxes, just one of the, is it the Neo? Is that what they call this?
Yes.
I think it's the Neo size. I'm not sure.
No, is it not the XO size?
Oh, maybe it's the XO.
I think
yeah.
The Neo size are the smaller ones. This is the XO side.
Right, okay, size. Yeah. So yeah, I think you're right, Matt. I think it might be the XO. But yeah, basically it is the an evolution of the 720, which came out a few years ago. So you've got all the bits and bobs that you would expect. But the thing that I think is unusual for a pedal of this size is it does have the ability to be MIDI synced, which I think will be very useful for, you know, a lot of people who are using big rigs and stuff like that. It's got an LCD screen, so you can just like get your timing dead on. There's also some effects built in, which is really nice. You can octave your loops, you can reverse your loops, you can have like a single trigger of your loops. So yeah, there's some really cool stuff in here, actually. I think a lot more than you would expect from a Electro Harmonix pedal of this size, because yeah, as I say, so many of the I was just trying to find, I should have pulled it up earlier, just their other looper range. So there's, so they've now got in the, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So I've just done.
It's like every time you open the Electro, I honestly expect every time I open the Electro Harmonix website to be a different brand new pedal at the top.
Yeah, so I've come, okay, right. So it's because they're in different sections. I've gone on the product page and I've just done Control F and then typed in the word looper. And it's told me that there's 35 instances of the word looper on this one page.
Yeah.
So there's the 1440, the 22,500, the 45,000, the 720, the 95,000. The Nano Looper 360, the Canyon, the Grand Canyon, although they're more delay pedals. There's just so much. There's so much going on there. But yeah, actually, I think this looks really good. I think having the MIDI sync is a thing that will sort of set this aside from other looper pedals around this price, because I think that's a really nice little feature. Yeah, I think this is good. I think this sort of fills a gap.
It's a super saturated market at the moment, the looper pedal. It seems to be something that's, you know, that continually has increased over the years. But I think the thing that started to become popular are the simple, like, you know,
like
the simple loop
stuff like that.
Yeah. After, you know, you obviously had Ditto. Ditto recently did the, you know, they reimagined the Ditto with a new screen. Boss introducing things like the RC1, you know, a dead simple version of the RC3. That kind of seemed to be the bread and butter of the looping world. So, yeah, so this is cool. Interesting to see Electro Harmonix throwing something else into the round. I appreciate it.
I can't wait to see what they come out with next week.
Yeah, yes.
I've said it before. I would, and I'm surprised they haven't done it, just a book, an Electro Harmonix book that's everything they've ever made.
They probably just can't, though. Like,
there's too many. It will take too long. Yeah.
There's too many. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They've got 5 different types of headphones. I remembered they brought out that one. Which one was it? There was the ones that was like the True Wireless, the R&B Buds. I remember those coming out, but...
Yeah, I think
they've
got
5 headphones. The Hot Links, the Hot Threads, the NYC Cans, the R&B Buds, and the Sport Buds. I mean, that's under the section Tubes and Pro Audio. So, you know...
I'm not sure I've ever had an electroharmonics pedal committed to a pedal board of mine. I don't think they've ever really done anything that is that I've wanted to buy.
Not like a
No, I had a Micropog?
Yeah, Micropog.
No, I never had one. Never had one as a bass player predominantly. So it just, you know.
Yeah, but what if you wanted to make your guitar sound that was bass sound like your guitar?
Yeah.
Joe, what's really interesting is I had a Micropog when they first came out, which I had on my board for a while, and then sold it, and then more recently bought a Nano Micropog. And I just really didn't get on with it.
Really? What's not to get on with? It's just a fantastic tracking, one octave down, one octave up.
It has a very distinct electroharmonics octave sound, which when you turn it on, you're like, this sounds like a lot of other things that have got a Micropog on it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's... which is great in one way. It's created its own sound. But I'm just like... It was almost a bit too harsh. But then again, I'm very, very used to, as you probably are, Joe, of the sound of an OC2, which is super subby. And I got this setting recently, which is I've been watching loads of bass players use OC2. Octave down, all the way up, everything off. Everything else completely off.
Pedal off.
Just throw the bass
in the bin. Turn your
electricity
off just in case. Go outside.
Yeah, so no dry signal, no two octaves down. And it sounds like a synth. I'm like, how have I never done that?
Yeah.
I guess it's because it's a really unsensible setting to have.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. I think Scott Devine from Scott's Bass Lessons used to do this trick with using a DS1 and an OC2 with exactly that setting on the OC2 to just create like a super simple, drivey synth sound. Out of the two. And yeah, the OC1's great for that. But one thing the OC2 is great for that. But one thing the OC2 doesn't have really is like clarity. It's more like presence of a note.
Yeah.
So it is fun dropping all of that stuff out. But I think if you were ever in a mix with that, you're not going to hear it because there's no substance to the note on an OC2. You need your signal blended in order to make it work. But I much prefer that than the very attack heavy octave of
a pog. That's why I actually, if I was going to have any one of the I think 30 octave pedals that look like electroharmonics are currently listing, for me the pog 2 was always a real winner, because it had some filter settings on it, you had a bit more of a mixer to kind of, you know, really sort of dial in the sound, plus a few presets, which was nice. But one pedal I've really missed is the Pitchfork. Because you could have the octave down, the tracking was incredible. And it
offered such wonderful intervals, the pitch.
Yeah, and you could put an expression pedal in, which, you know, everyone wants to basically.
What could you do with the expression pedal? Could you use it to control? Is it to bring in and out the. Is it like a
it's a whammy, basically.
Oh, it's a whammy. Oh, okay, yeah, right. It's a whammy.
On the pitchfork, on the pog 2, I think it could do various things, like bring in certain octaves or change the filter and stuff like that.
Right, okay.
But yeah, for me, I think the pitchfork is actually the real winner of their entire range. Great range of intervals, like you say, Joe, up to three octaves. You could go up, down, or in the middle. You had the dual mode. And you could set the foot switch latching or unlatching, which I really liked.
Nice.
I really liked the momentary mode on that. I thought that was a really good little feature. So that'd be the one that I would go for. I don't know how we quite got to octavers.
but yes, I agree. It was definitely a really cool pedal. That was a really good time around there because the Pitchfork. You know, I guess slightly later, it was probably longer after than I realized, but you had the Canyon delay come out shortly after that, which for me is still the best delay that electroharmonics have ever put out, and one of the most like musical and interesting delay pedals I'd heard in a long time. Around the time that it came out, when I was at GAC, we were doing a lot of videos where we were trying to recreate film scores. Like we did the Blade Runner theme or like the theme from that space movie. I that.
We were talking about a lot
space
of
movie.
Armageddon? That space movie. No.
Interstellar.
Interstellar, that's it, yeah. And
you were just after that clickbait.
That was all those clickbait marketing.
That's what you were doing.
That was exactly what that was. But I just the canyon ended up being on everything because it was just so wonderfully. It had such a fantastic like octave up option, where you know it was just pitching up constantly. Its shimmer was really usable. Like it was just such a great Swiss Army knife of a delay pedal without feeling like you were really sacrificing anything on any of the individual settings. Really good pedal that.
That was at the time when Electro-Harmonix were putting out about a pedal a week, wasn't it? And we just all thought, I mean, there's no way they can keep this up.
Yeah.
Well,
and here we are.
What's interesting, actually, as I was just talking about that, there's a couple of products I remember talking about at NAMM, which we haven't seen, that haven't seen the light of day yet, which was the Pitchfork Plus, which was their slightly bigger version of the Pitchfork with presets and an extra foot switch and a bunch of extra controls and CV input and expression pedal and MIDI and a foot switch. And also, totally forgot about this one, the digital Big Muff, which was the Big Muff that basically had a USB that was like it was a hardware and a plug-in. So you plugged it into your computer and it was a plug-in but was a physical bit of hardware, a bit like those TC units that came out last year, like their 2290 delay and then their reverb more recently as like a controller. But yeah, this was like a Big Muff that went on your pedal board, but then
there is nothing that Electro-Harmonix won't do.
That is a very, very weird... weird product. Apparently they said here this was from a leaked catalog that obviously never came out or hasn't come out yet. Apparently your signal is processed via an analog circuit in the Big Muff and then USB out into your DAW for recording.
So it's like the it's like that Ibanez amp, the Tube Screamer amp, but for recording.
Yeah,
is it so that you can get an authentic Big Muff tone
on your computer.
Exactly. Yeah, presumably the way that they're looking at it is there's so many people doing home recording, there's, you know, loads of people are selling essentially Big Muff plugins, so they're just like, well look, why don't we do it, and then you don't need a plugin because we've just given you an actual Big Muff signal.
Yeah, I guess so,
because you're usually going to put your Big Muff first, aren't you, in the chain,
and last. And one in the middle as well.
Of course. Yeah. But, you know, you can do that in post and that's fine.
But that they have yet to be released. So how many more pedals that will come between now and those ones coming out?
I don't remember those at all. That's totally passed me by.
Yeah, I think it was a sort of NAMM leak it was seen at NAMM and then never really came out. Wow. They've obviously got a massive backlog of products that need to... that need to come out at some point. So,
do you remember when we went to a different country, Matt?
Do you remember
when we left the house? Whoa, how naive and young we were.
It's a shame because right about this time I'd be, and maybe you as well, Jay, would be sunning it up in hot and sticky Nashville.
Sunny Nashville.
You know. And
we were going to go on holiday. We were just not going to tell nothing to do with NAMM. We just weren't going to tell Mark and Joe. We were just going to go ourselves.
Exactly.
A romantic getaway in the home of music
with a friend of the podcast, Wes Steed from Novo and Revolta Guitars.
Exactly.
Great going to summer NAMM and spending 5 days in your convention center.
So bloody odd.
I mean, California, LA's been generally pretty hot every NAMM I've been. Like, just good hot weather, like good hot. But Nashville is just like muggy. I remember the first time I went, we went from the hotel. It was about a 10-minute walk maximum from the hotel to the convention center. Met the US team, and they were like, yeah, we're just calling an Uber. I'm like, it's 10 minutes walk. I'm like, no need for an Uber. And they're like, have you stepped outside yet? And it was like nearly 40 degrees, like 90% humidity. And we're like, yeah, I can see why you need to get an Uber.
Yeah. What a way to live.
Well,
not like here when it's just, you know, perpetually raining. It's fine. This is just a bit of July rain. You know, yeah, it's fine.
I got asked once when I was in Japan, one of the engineers said, what's England like? What's the weather in England? And I just went, grey. That's the best way to describe it.
Just grey.
I like it, though.
Now, gentlemen, I can hear the sultry tones of the question duck crying out for us to move on into the question section of the podcast. So, let's start things off. We'll continue with a question about pedals straight from the Facebook group. Another one from Andy Manley, who has already had one mentioned on this podcast. Andy says, I'm looking for a nice ambient reverb with frills, something like a Caverns or an Old Blood Noise Endeavor's Dark Star.
Interesting.
What's worth a look for around the £200 mark? So what do you guys think? An ambient reverb. The thing is, he's mentioned two, you know, fantastic options already, that it's not supposed to be kind of either of those. So an ambient style reverb, but we've kind of got a decent amount of money to play with, like the £200.
It seems to be the average, I guess, yeah. Now, doesn't it? So I'm gonna get a little bit of help from various websites here and see what's available, that sort of money, what we've talked about before. One pedal, and this is above the budget, but one pedal we definitely need to try and get hold of and try is the Source Audio Collider, which is their delay and reverb. I always think their stuff looks really, really good. Mm. Well, you can buy an Ocean's 12 now, which actually might be a good option. But let's have a quick.
It's a decent amount, but it's a difficult price point when it gets onto kind of the more fun sort of ambient delays.
Yeah, okay. So I'll give you one that I've actually got, which is great. Old Blood Noise is a go-to for the kind of weird and wacky. The Minim. Which we've talked about a lot, which is obviously their reverb and then tremolo-driven delay. Delay and tremolo-driven reverb with the reverse switch, which will also do the octave, which I really like. I think that's really nice. I think it's, you know, great for the kind of weird and wacky stuff. Maybe you have to really dial it back and then it's still a tad on the extreme side, so it will never do just like your basic reverb, but I'm guessing you probably want something that does will always do far beyond that, but the Minim I think was really good for that. And then one pedal we sold a lot of when I was actually at Anderton's is the Mr. Black Blood Moon. I think they did a couple in that series, which is their modulated ambient reverb. That was always a good shout, I thought, you know, specifically looking at the ambient side of things, I thought well worth a look. But I've actually also just seen just another crazy choice. TC Electronic Hall of Fame 2 X4 is £199.
Wow, that's good. That's incredible. Wow. I mean, just the Hall of Fame 2 on its own is actually a fantastic option. If we're just looking at kind of basic names, I think it's, you know, capable of some really good sort of ambient crazy stuff.
Yeah, I don't know with that, if with the X4, if you can have four on at once. I don't think it's like the triple delay. I think it's just like four reverbs in a box. Yeah. But I think the nice thing about that is obviously having ambient mode, shimmer mode, church. You can dial in your same, and you've got that kind of...
The mash nice little, control
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the mash control, yeah. I thought, which is really nice.
Yeah, for sure.
But the one that everyone seems to be raving about at the moment is the Walrus Slow. That's the one I seem to be... popping up on a lot of
Matty,
pedal
boards. you are killing me here. You're just
are you taking all of yours, Jay?
Taking it, you're killing me. Oh my gosh, you're absolutely just you're getting me here. No, I completely agree. I think there's actually, as you said, Joe, I think there's loads of options at this price point. I think you've got, sorry to cut across you there, Matty, but I feel like people have heard you.
Can't believe how many choices there are.
I know, I know. I just had a quick look as well, and you know, I completely agree. The Mr. Black, I think, is a great choice. The slow is kind of where I would be. I was going to say the Old Blood Reverb, but of course the Minim, the updated version of that, is a great choice. Just another one that I've actually never tried, but I've watched a load of videos of and I'd really like to spend a bit of time with, is the New Neighbor Immerse. I think that's another one that is a kind of big sounding soundscapey type pedal for not loads of money. Well, they're 200 quid or something, so I think you've got a lot of choice there. But yeah, I think probably out of all of those, the Solo would be quite near the top of the list, or as you mentioned, the Caverns, which I think is a really, really cool pedal. So
yeah,
lots of choice.
In fact, actually, up to £200 for a reverb, I think, is one of the most exciting territories you can go into.
Yeah,
by the looks of it, just on a popular retailer and looking at reverb pedals, there is absolutely loads. In fact, I'd say maybe more exciting choices than delay pedals in some ways.
I guess the thing is with reverb is it's just a bit more... Delay is a bit more kind of... It's a bit more of a rigid effect, I guess. Because delay is like, well, what are you doing? Okay, well, what a delay pedal is it's going to take your sound and it's going to repeat the sound back to you. And it can do other things, but the main point of a delay pedal is to repeat the sound back to you. Whereas a reverb pedal, the point of it is it's to make you feel like you're in a large space. And I guess you can interpret that kind of however you want. And I guess that's why reverb is sometimes, if you're looking for something a bit weird, reverb is a more interesting place. And it's something that kind of clever people who design pedals can have a bit more fun with, rather than just making a pedal where it's like, okay, well, you played this note, here's this note again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not bound by that one thing.
I tell you what's also incredible, actually, which just on a side note, talking of reverb, everyone obviously loves a space echo. I'm not going to talk about the RE20, but what I am going to talk about is the Echofix EFX2 tape echo, which we probably mentioned quite some time ago. A company in Australia making a modern day space echo, basically. They are now available to buy from Andersons.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. This is exciting news. How much are they?
They are not as cheap as if I wish I'd pre-ordered one when they first announced on Reverb. I think when they first announced on Reverb, I'm sure they're about 11 or 1200. They are going to come into the UK at 1999. So it's a tricky one at that price point, because
you can get still a real tape. One for less money.
You can get a real one for less money. And I'm actually taking mine to be serviced tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to actually getting mine back in full working order and full service. Yeah, I would say that you are broaching on the... Yeah, you I'd be hard pushed. I'd say you almost would rather spend the money on a new one. I think what's interesting with this, the original Space Echoes, they need to see a... low impedance guitar signal. So sometimes you plug a guitar straight in, you kind of need to go into like a buffer or something first to get the best out of them. Obviously they've got two different inputs here, one for a high impedance, one for a line input. The reverb in these ones is digital, it's not spring. Obviously you've got a modern day tape. I think all the parts, they're not like NOS parts, they're like all new parts as well. And they have put the sound on sound mode on there, which I think is great, because that feature was only available in the later models. I think that's a cool product. I mean, if you've got the money to burn, I bet you that will be a fantastic thing to own. But I think an old RE201 will set you back about 1,200 quid.
Now. Yeah, exactly. I'd almost lean towards. I'd go for the prestige. Of course, I'd go for the prestige of having an old one over this. But it nonetheless, it looks incredibly cool.
And if you really wanted to splash the cash for a reverb, then there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Now we are actually coming up to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're of course going to be continuing over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find that in the description of this podcast. We have, of course, returned to our original Patreon format. So we are going to be continuing to answer questions from our Facebook group over on the Patreon. We're also going to be talking a bit about the Guitar Nerd survey over there and some of the feedback that we've had from everyone that we're going to action. I've also got some pedals to suggest to in answer to this question from Andy as well. But we're going to be shooting over there, and we're going to be, it looks like we've got a handful of other questions. Scott O'Brien, Jason Hands. We've got a few other interesting questions on modding and extreme shape guitars and stuff like that. So we're going to pop over there and do that. If you want to join us, you can do from as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy an entire extra episode every week, plus access to our entire back catalogue. And at the $10 tier, you become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits. Plus, you get your name sung in the end of the podcast song by me, which is wonderful. Join us over on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum, and follow us on all the major social platforms with @guitarnerds. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ty Allen and Yogi, the guitarist. Modi, Amodius, Cloud Lifter, and Todd Simons. Ridge Quest, Well, Joe Harper, Sean Hughes, Michael Howe, Brian Anson, Shane M. Jeffrey Wax, Eric Hammer, Samuel Frost, Brian Einsler, Gavin Vanderlinden, and Jacob McGee, Scott Utting, Robert Butterworth, and Simon Milbourne, Mark Hizau, Kadowaki, Stuart Robson. The Guitar Nerds, here they come, they're running. The Guitar Nerds, oh my god, they've got a knife. The Guitar Nerds, better run for your life, your life, your life, your... They are the Guitar Nerds. Has it come to this? The Guitar Nerds, my god, they're covered in piss. The Guitar Nerds, alright, 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 they smell. O'Neill, Milton, Christian Lundhansen, Nick Rivett, Keith Adams, Eric File, Andrew Good, Joe Puttick, Maren Peters, Richard Sudworth, Jack Cutmore, Jamie Kemp, Ken Sayers, Adrian Deschanel, Bo, John Anglin, Rob Gruhl, Tucker Amador, Nani Cooper, Russ Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Matt Bellamy, oh, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Weiland, Christopher Lowe, Seth Hans, Sam Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, J.D. Shard, Robin Smith, Brad Page, and Andy McKenzie, Scott O'Brien, Paul Carrig, and Will Clare, and then there's always Moon Gravit. Oh, the Guitar Nerds, you better run from them. The Guitar Nerds, get away as fast you can. The Guitar Nerds, yeah, 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 they're really terrible people.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.